I don't know if you've noticed. Not many people have actually seen a ghost. But everyone knows someone who has. Extraordinary thing, that. Mind you, it goes for me, too. I remember hearing a chap, years ago now. Sometime in the 1860s, I suppose. A rather mixed bunch of us had been invited to dine by this civil servant. And after we'd eaten, the talk got round to the supernatural. And, well, you know what civil servants are, always laying down the law to everyone. I think it must have been this that provoked the chap I'm thinking of. He was a stout, bald little man, but he'd served in the Hussars for a time. I mean, he was nobody's fool. He just sat there quietly listening until our host repeated himself once again.
I mean, gentlemen, if one admits the possibility of the supernatural, that is, the possibility of its participation in ordinary life, what becomes of common sense?
And then it seemed he just couldn't stand it anymore.
Rubbish. It's not a matter of common sense at all.
What do you mean?
I mean, I can't agree, because something supernatural has happened to me in my ordinary life.
Are you serious? My dear sir, you mean something that really was inconsistent with the laws of nature?
Just so, precisely that.
Well, that's amazing. But exactly what happened?
Might we trouble you, dear sir, to give us the details?
That is, if you can remember...
Certainly, why not? That is, if you really want to hear.
But we really do.
Very well. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it, gentlemen, but I have a small estate in the Kozielski district. Kitchen garden, little pond with carp in it, some farm buildings, and a little lodge. It's very small, but it's big enough for a bachelor. Well, one day, about 6 years ago, I came home rather late. I'd been playing cards at a neighbor's place, and I was a little bit elevated, as they say. I undressed, got into bed, and put out the candle.
Well, all that sounds remarkably normal.
But just fancy, gentlemen. As soon as I put out the candle, I heard something moving under my bed. Was it a rat? No. It was too big. It moved about, scratched itself, and flapped its ears. Obviously, it was a dog. But where could a dog have come from? I called my servant, and he came in with a candle. Filka? Filka!
Yes, sir?
Is this how you look after things?
What do you mean, sir?
A dog's got under my bed.
A dog? What dog, sir?
Well, how should I know what dog? That's your business, isn't it? To save your master from disturbance. Now get it out of here.
Of course I'll, sir, there's no dog here.
What do you mean there's no dog? I heard it. Why are you grinning, you stupid? Give me that candle. Let me look.
There's no dog, is there, sir?
No. No, there isn't. It must have nipped out into the passage when you opened the door. Yes, that's what happened. And you gaping idiot, you saw nothing because you're always half asleep.
Yes, sir, of course.
Don't grin at me like that. You don't think I'm drunk, do you?
Well, I don't think it's...
Don't answer that. Get out. Go on. Get out and leave me in peace.
Yes, sir. I'm going. I hope you sleep well, sir.
The cheeky devil. Well, gentlemen, the next night the same thing happened. As soon as I blew out the candle, I heard him scratch himself and flap his ears. I called Filka again. He came in with a candle and looked under the bed. Once again, nothing. So I sent him away and blew out the candle. And damn it all, the dog was there again. You could hear it breathing, biting its coat, looking for fleas. It was all so distinct.
Filka, I want you again. Only this time, don't bring a candle.
Yes, sir.
Right. Now, you just listen. Do you hear it?
Yes. I can. You know what it is, sir, don't you? It's witchcraft.
Hold your tongue, you fool.
And get this candle lit.
I'm trying to, sir. I'm trying.
We were both trembling in the dark as if we had a fever. But when we'd lit the candle, there was no dog and no sound. Just the two of us, both as white as chalk. After that, I kept a candle burning until it was morning. And believe me or not, gentlemen, from that night on, for 6 weeks, the same thing was repeated. In the end, I got so used to it, I began putting out the candle because I couldn't sleep properly. Let him fidget, I said. It didn't do me any harm.
You're not one of the chicken-hearted brigade.
Yes, well, if it comes to that, sir, I'm not afraid of you either. But just listen to the rest of it. A neighbour came over to see me. In fact, it was the same one I mentioned before, the one I used to play cards with. He took potluck and dined with me. And then, of course, we settled down to cards. He ended up by losing 50 rubles. That's quite a lot to pay for your dinner. Well, it was quite dark by now, time for him to be off. But I'd had an idea.
Why don't you stay the night here? Fulke can make up a bed for you.
If you're sure you don't mind, I'd be grateful.
It'll be a pleasure. Real pleasure. Fulke? Fulke!
So, Fulke made up a bed for him in my room. I remember we smoked and chatted for a long time.
What about?
Well, the fair sex. What else? Anyway, at long last, he blew out his candle and settled down to sleep. I waited a little, and then I put out my candle. I'd scarcely time to wonder what it would do before I heard the creature moving. And that wasn't all. It came out from under the bed, walked across the room, shook its ears, and pushed against a chair close by his bed.
I didn't know you had a dog. What sort is it? A setter?
I haven't got a dog. Never have had.
Well, what's this, then?
Light the candle. You'll see for yourself. Well?
What sort of trick is this?
It's not a trick. I think it's some sort of a ghost.
What?
Yes, I can hear it every night after I put out the light. It's been going on for 6 weeks now. Why are you putting your boots on?
Horses! Fulke! Horses! I won't stay another minute. You must be a man under a curse.
I managed to get him to stay. But that was only after we dragged his bed into another room and put lights everywhere. In the morning, we talked things over, and he gave me some advice.
You know what I'd do, my dear friend, if I were you?
No. What do you advise?
Try going away from home for a few days, and then perhaps this thing will leave you.
I'll do it. I'll go away today. I know just the place to go. And I did, too. There was an inn in the town, kept by a dissenter. Now, there were two things that he couldn't stand, tobacco and dogs. You know, I believe he'd have let himself be torn to pieces rather than let a dog into his place. I went straight there, and he gave me a little room. His own room was just the other side of the partition, which was just what I wanted. It wasn't too comfortable, mind you. It was a regular oven of a room, stuffy and full of sticky flies. There was a big shrine in the corner with some ancient icons on it. I lay down on the bed, but there was no hope of sleeping. For a long time, I could hear my host clearing his throat and saying his prayers. Then at last I heard him begin to snore in an old-fashioned, polite sort of way. I had put my candle out long ago, but the little lamp was still burning in front of the icons. I got up quietly, went over, and blew it out. Silence. Oh-ho, I thought, so it doesn't happen in other people's houses. But I'd no sooner got into bed than there was the usual commotion. Scraping the floor, scratching himself, shaking his ears. I just lay still and waited to see what would happen.
What's that? What have you got in there? It's a dog. Why, you vile heretic. The Queen of Heaven is pleased to be up on the shrine there, and you've let some infidel dog stick his nose into that room.
Wait a bit, old man. You'd better come here yourself. Things are happening that may make you wonder.
Come in, you say? I most certainly will. Just wait. Dogs, indeed.
He appeared in the doorway with a thin candle made of yellow wax in his hand. He was bristling all over, with eyes as fierce as a weasel. He went up to the icons, lit the lamp, crossed himself, and turned to me with one word.
Explain.
So I explained. And then I asked him what he thought of it. Was it some sort of witchcraft?
What an idea. Witchcraft, indeed. With all the holiness there is in this house. Of course not.
Well, what is it, then?
I don't know. But I do know there's only one man who can help you. He's one of our people, of our faith. If he's willing to help you, you're lucky. If not, nothing can be done.
How can I find this man?
I can direct you. Sorcery, indeed. Lie down to sleep now. I'll burn some incense, and in the morning we'll talk. Morning brings wisdom, you know.
Well, gentlemen, we talked in the morning, only I was half stifled by that incense. The landlord told me to go to the marketplace and ask for a man called Prochorich in the second shop. He gave me a little scrap of a note for him, too. All it said was, "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen. To Sergei Prochorovich Pervushkin, trust this man, Fedulia Ivanich. And below, send the cabbages for God's sake."
No words wasted, I see.
No, not one.
Did you go?
Oh, yes, I did. Well, the whole thing was so strange, you see, and not quite the thing for an officer and a gentleman, eh?
Not at all, I'd say.
Yes, I rather thought you would. Anyway, I went to the shop and they directed me to a house. Well, no, a hovel, really. I saw a man there, standing with his back to me. Just a workman, he looked to me, digging his cabbages. And then he turned round. His whole face was shrunk up like a little fist, with sunken lips and a little beard. But his eyes... I've never seen such piercing eyes in all my life.
Who are you looking for?
A man called Prochorich.
I am the man. What are you needing?
This is what I'm needing. Here's a note for you.
I can't read without spectacles. Come inside.
We went into the hut. Poor, bare, crooked. It was only just holding together. There was an old icon on the wall, as black as coal. Only the whites of the eyes gleamed in the faces. The old man found his spectacles, little round ones in an iron frame. And then he read the note. He sat down, took out a checked handkerchief full of holes, and spread it out on his knee. He didn't ask me to sit down. He just looked at me with as much dignity as if he were a minister. Those eyes of his... I felt so insignificant. Well, I pulled myself together and told him all my story.
Bow down to the holy icon. Hmm? Now, get up. I think I can help you. This isn't a punishment. It's a warning.
What?
For your protection. Someone is praying for your welfare. I want you to go to the market now and to buy a young dog. Keep it by you day and night. Your visitation will leave you. And moreover, that dog will be of use to you.
I see. Oh, why didn't I think of that? Oh, thank you, thank you. I'll go there straight away. But look, I can't go without offering you something by way of...
No. Give it to our chapel or to the poor. The service I have done you is not to be paid for.
No, forgive me. I'll do exactly as you say. Well, I bowed down almost to the ground and then set off for the market. And, you know, on the way I met a man strolling towards me with a puppy under his arm. It was a setter pup, about 2 months old, with a reddish-brown coat and white forepaws.
Hey, you! Stop!
Who? Me, sir?
That dog you've got there. What were you selling for?
I don't really know, sir. For 2 rubles?
Done. Here, take 3.
What? What's going on?
You take this and give me the dog, all right?
Well, I suppose so, sir. Yeah, I suppose so.
I made straight for my carriage and set off home. The puppy sat inside my coat all the way and didn't stir. I kept talking to him, calling him Little Trezor. And when we got home, I gave him food and drink. Then I had some straw brought in and settled him down near my bed. Then I whisked into bed myself and blew out the candle. Well, come on, begin, if you're going to. Go on, get started, you foolish little scratcher under the bed. It's just as the old man said. You don't dare to when there's another dog here, do you? Peel Cup? Peel Cup?
Yes, sir.
Come here, please, without a candle.
Yes, sir. What did you want?
Just listen. Can you hear the dog under the bed?
No, sir. I can't hear anything.
Mm. And you won't hear it ever again. Here. Here's half a ruble for vodka. Oh,
thank you, sir. Thank you.
So that was the end of the phenomenon. A great relief, I must say.
And the end of the story, I suppose.
Oh, no, sir, by no means.
What happened then?
Well, my Tresor grew up, turned into a fine fellow. A regular sporting dog he was, with a good thick tail and floppy ears. Well, one day, it was summer, and I must tell you, there was a drought such as no one remembered. The air was full of smoke or haze. There was a smell of burning in the air. The sun was like a molten bullet. And as for the dust, there was no getting it out of one's nose and throat. People walked around with their mouths wide open, like crows. Ugh. I just sat at home, wearing as little as possible, with the shutters closed against the heat. And this went on until I got utterly tired of it. Then, luckily, the heat began to abate a little. So I went off to see a lady, a neighbour of mine.
Attractive lady.
Yes, yes. And still young. Though she did have rather an uncertain temper. Oh. I quite like that in a woman, in fact.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Anyway, I set off on foot. She lived about 3/4 mile away, and you can imagine what a hot time of it I had getting there. Still, I thought she'll no doubt offer me something cooling to drink. Bilberry water or something like that?
No.
Oh, well, I'd just taken hold of the door handle when I heard shrieking and the boys in the courtyard shouting something. Well, I looked round. A huge reddish beast was rushing straight towards me. Its jaws were open, its eyes bloodshot, and its coat was bristling. I hadn't time to take breath before the monster bounded up the stairs, stood upon its hind legs, and made straight for my throat. I couldn't lift my arms. I was numb with terror. I could see nothing but those terrible white fangs just before my nose and that red tongue covered with white foam. And in that instant, another dark shape hurtled before me. It was Tresor defending me. And he hung onto that brute's throat like a leech. It wheezed, grated its teeth, and staggered back. I flung open the door and got into the hall. I hardly knew what I was doing. I just stood there with my whole weight against the door and heard the desperate battle going on outside. Then it stopped, so I opened the door just a crack, and the servants were rushing about in the yard as if they were out of their minds.
What is it?
You there? Where's my dog? Tresor, here, boy. Why, you're covered in blood. What's happened to you?
Oh, it was a mad dog, sir. One of those foreign ones the Count breeds. Been hanging about here since yesterday.
A mad dog, you say?
That's right, sir. And as fierce as the devil, too.
Well, gentlemen, you can imagine how I felt then. It only takes one bite, you know, or even a scratch. I rushed to a mirror and I looked to see if I'd been bitten. Thank God, not a scratch. Only my face naturally looked rather green. As for the lady, she was lying on a sofa and cackling like a hen.
Oh, are you alive?
Yes, it would seem so. Thanks to Tresor.
Noble creature. So the mad dog has choked him?
No, but it's wounded him badly.
Oh, he must be shot then, this moment.
What? No, I can't agree to that. I must try and cure him. Listen, there he is, scratching at the door.
Oh, what are you doing? Oh, don't let him in, he'll bite us all.
Yeah, the poison doesn't work that quickly.
Oh, have you taken leave of your senses?
Be reasonable, calm yourself, he saved my life.
I don't care. Get out of here at once with your horrid dog. And never let me set eyes on you again. You may go mad yourself.
Very well. Only let me have a carriage. I'm afraid to go home on foot now.
Oh, give him a carriage. Give him the coach. Give him anything he wants. Only get him out of here quickly. Just look at his eyes. Oh, what eyes he has.
And believe it or not, gentlemen, I broke off all acquaintance with the lady that very day. When I think about it, I should be grateful to my friend Tresor for that as well.
but what did you do with him? I mean, he'd been bitten.
Well, I had the carriage brought round and put him in it. When we got home, I washed his wounds. I thought I'd take him to the wise man in the Yefremovsky district. He had a great reputation. Well, while I was thinking all this out, it got quite dark. Time for bed.
I don't know why, but I couldn't get to sleep, no matter what I did. And I can't describe the depression that came over me. I got up, sipped some water, opened the window, played the guitar. No good. I thought I must get out of that room. At last, I made up my mind. I picked up my pillow and a quilt and a sheet, and I crossed the garden to the old barn and settled myself in the hay there. And how pleasant it was.
I can well believe it, in that weather.
Oh, yes, it was such a relief to be outside. It was a still, still night. From time to time, a breath of air touched one's cheek like a woman's hand. The hay smelt as sweet as tea. The grasshoppers were chirping away among the apple trees. And the sky above was magnificent. It was full of glowing stars, and sometimes a big cloud as white as cotton wool, scarcely moving as it drifted by.
One of those moments of peace.
Well, yes, it should have been. But I still couldn't get to sleep. I'd started thinking, you see. Thinking how strange the whole business with Tresor had been. How the old man had explained it as a warning. And why such things were happening to me, of all people. Tresor kept whining as he twisted round in the hay. His wounds hurt him. And there was something else which prevented me sleeping now. The moon. It was so big and round and yellow. It seemed to be staring at me. It really did. In the end, I even put my tongue out at it. When I turned away from it, it still seemed to be creeping into my ears and shining on the back of my head, just as if I were caught in the rain. Then I opened my eyes again, and every blade of grass, every flimsy spider's web stood out so clearly, asking to be looked at. So I leaned my head on my hand and began watching the countryside. The doors of the barn were wide open. I could see for 4 miles into the open country quite clearly. And all at once, it seemed as though something were moving. Far, far, far away, like a faint glimmer in the distance. A little time passed. The shadow stirred again, a little bit nearer. What can it be, I wondered. A hare? No, it's bigger than a hare, and its movements are different. Again, the shadow came in sight, and it was moving across the meadow like a big blur. It was clearly a wild animal, a fox or a wolf. My heart seemed to stand still. Yet, why was I frightened? All sorts of wild creatures ran across the fields at night. But my curiosity was even stronger than my fear. I sat up, and I felt as if I'd been thrust into ice up to my ears. And why? Lord only knows. And then I saw the shadow growing and growing. It was running straight towards the barn. A wild beast, big, with a huge head. He flew on like a whirlwind. Then he stopped all at once, as though he scented something. It was the Count's mad dog. I couldn't stir. I couldn't cry out. It darted to the door with its eyes glittering, howled once, and dashed straight at me. Tresor leapt out of the hay like a lion. The two dogs hung onto one another's jaws and rolled on the ground. I don't remember what happened to me, except that I flew headlong between them, into my home, and almost crept under the bed. Oh, I tell you, those leaps and bounds that I took through the garden, no ballet dancer could have matched them.
But what on earth did you do next?
Well, when I'd recovered a bit, I called the servants and ordered them to arm themselves. A regular horde of us with stakes and lanterns went out to the barn. I called out. Not a sound. At last, I went in, and there was Tresor, dead, his throat torn open. And as for the other damned brute, there wasn't a trace to be seen.
That's real loyalty for you.
Oh, yes. And I'm not ashamed to say that I howled like a calf. I stooped down to the friend who'd saved my life twice over, and kissed him again and again. It was my old housekeeper who brought me to my senses.
Come on now. It's only a dog. Why distress yourself so much, eh? Losing his life to save yours may have been his purpose on earth. And besides, you'll catch cold. You've got so little on. Come on, Come on inside.
Next day, a soldier from the garrison shot the mad dog. That must have been its destiny. It was the first time in his life that soldier had ever fired a gun. Even though he got a medal for war service. So, that was the end of the supernatural incident that happened to me.
Quite astonishing.
Yes, it's all very strange. But perhaps it was a recompense.
What do you mean, a recompense?
Well, perhaps you've led a virtuous life.
Oh, what? You're joking. Oh, no, my friend, I wouldn't say my life's been virtuous. Definitely not.
The trouble is, if one admits the possibility of the supernatural, that is, the possibility of its participation in everyday life, what becomes of common sense?
Ah, well, I'm afraid there's no answer to that. No answer at all.